Right, today I'm going to preach about testimony. And when I got that one, it was in the same week when Gerald also sent a WhatsApp, also about testimony. And I thought, okay, the Lord has planted the same idea also in somebody else's heart, and that's awesome. Now, if we think about testimony, then we think about, most of the time, we think about two types of fields. We think about in court, and we think about testimony, a Christian giving a testimony at a baptism or a evangelistic meeting or something like that. This is where we most of the time think about. And we basically got four where we can have a look at. The first is that it's a declaration of a witness in a court case. So the person is testifying and he said under oath he is going to speak the truth. If he's going to speak the truth or not the truth, I don't know. But at least he is making that declaration. We also know about that it's an evidence in support, which is more a type of, let's say, a sworn declaration. We maybe have done those sworn declarations as well. You go to court and you say, or you go to the police and you do a declaration and then you sign it afterwards. Those are the first two, but the last two I actually would like to speak about this afternoon. And then the first one is a public declaration. That is a testimony when we are making a testimony, and that's typically when we know that when a person is going to be baptized, then the person is giving a testimony of what happened in that person's life. And then the other one is the stones, the tablets, which are in the ark. Those were also called the testimonies. And I didn't know about it, so it was for me also interesting to prepare this sermon and also to learn with that as well. And that's what I'm going to start with, the first one. And that is the tablets of the law, which are in the ark, were called testimony because it was a testimony from the Lord. He said, I'm your Lord. It was a testimony from the Lord, which was written on those tablets. And this is what is called then the testimony. And then the law, which was written on it, is a testimony to them to direct them, so to give them a direction. Those people who were reading them were the Israelites, and they got directions out of it, of where they had to go to, because it was a testimony from the Lord what they got over there. But it would also be a testimony against if they transgressed, if they didn't do what was written down over there, then they also could reflect it against it. They could have a look at the testimony and say, okay, have I done what the Lord is asking me to do, or am I failing over there? So that is the first one. The tablets of the law then are called the testimony. And we can read it in Exodus 25, verses 16, where it says, and you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give to you. This is the Lord, of course, speaking to Moses, and he said, and you shall put then in the ark the testimony. And then the testimony is those two tablets. And I'll get a little bit later back to those two tablets again. And then we read in Deuteronomy 10, verses 1 and 2. And then at that time the Lord said to me, hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. We know, of course, that Moses got twice. He got the tablets, the first one, time he came back and he saw those Israelites which made that golden calf, and he was a little bit angry and he chucked them into pieces. Then he had to go up again and he had to get it the second time. And then where the Lord says, I will write on the tablets the words which were also on the first tablets. So the Lord wrote on the tablets the words exactly the same as on the first ones. Then the ark is called the ark of the testimony. Some are a little bit logic. If the testimony is in the ark, then it's the ark of the testimony. So, yeah. But we can read it in Exodus 30, verses 6, and there it says, and you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet you. And that is now the ark of the testimony. Now, the ark of the testimony, it's quite an interesting thing if we take a look at how it was made and how it and what was actually on the inside. It was a wooden chest, but it was overlaid with gold, and it was a 1.1 meter long. It was 0.7 meter wide, and it was 0.7 meter high, and it contained then the two stone tablets of the testimony. This is what we read then in Exodus 30. But if we go to Hebrews 9, verses 3 and 4, it says there was more in that. Because over there it says, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which was called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer in the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that buttered, and the tablets of the covenant. So there were more things in it. And we also can maybe have a look at that picture, Christoph. So there it gives you a little bit of an idea then. So it's a 1.1 meter by 0.7 by 0.7. So there were three things, actually four things inside. There were the two tablets. It was the staff of Aaron, and it was then one holder which had still some manna in it. That was inside the Ark of the Testimony. It's interesting if we take a look at the two tablets, because the two tablets, there are two ways of thinking about it. The one says the two tablets, on the one tablet you had 1 to 5, and on the other tablet you had 6 to 10. But there are also people who are saying that it wasn't like that. It was that there are two tablets which are identical, which means both of them had 1 to 10 on it, and that they were identical. The way that they are reasoning like that is that it is a custom in the Middle East, and we still have got the same custom, because if we sign a lease agreement, one copy goes to the landlord and one copy goes to the tenant. So concerning that, we haven't got something new, if I can put it that way, because they already found contracts long before Christ that a copy was in Egypt and a copy was in Turkey, and it was identical. So that type of system is already existing quite long. Now the way what they think is what where there's a school of thought about it. So there's two ways. I'm not saying which one is correct, but the second one, I like it actually quite a lot, with the two identical ones. So that those were identical. So which means that the Lord had one, because the person the highest in the ranking of when you make a contract keeps one copy. This is the Lord. And where was the Lord? He was with this testimony, and in the ark, he was with the people, he was in the tabernacle. This is where he kept that one copy, if I can put it that way. The other copy is kept by the party which is a little bit lower. But that copy, the people normally put it always in the temple of the God, which they, which they were worshipping. So what they did with that copy, they didn't throw it away or put it somewhere, but they brought it then to the temple. Now, if you take a look at the Israelites then, where did they have to put it then if they were looking at the God, what they had? It was only one place, and it was God as well. So that's where they say that's why the two tablets are next to each other and that they were identical. So you can decide which one is the correct way of which one you like actually more. But I'm just explaining to you that there are two different ways of thinking about it. One says 1 to 5 and 6 to 10, and then the other says there are two identical ones. But that's for you to decide. And then the tabernacle of the, and then the third one is the tabernacle of the testimony, because we already saw the testimonies in the Ark of the Testimony, and then we come to the tabernacle of the testimony. And that we can also read in the Bible about that in Numbers 10, verses 11. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that a cloud was taken up from the tabernacle of the testimony. So there we see again the testimony, the description of the will of the Lord. Then we also read in Numbers 10, verses 33, so they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3-day journey to search out for the resting place. What I'm trying to say over here is that they followed where the testimony went. The testimony went before them. They didn't have the ark at the back, but they had the ark at the front. So where the ark went, where the testimony from the Lord went, this is where they went as well. And I'll get a little bit later to that one. I'll get back to again. And then in Acts 7, verses 44, this is where Stephen is testifying, where he says, our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimonies in the wilderness, just as God directed Moses to make it according to the patterns which he had seen. So the tabernacle of the testimony was in the wilderness, and this is where Stephen then testified about. Those are in the Old Testament. Those were the old of the. This was the testimonies. What I said, the tablets which God gave then to Moses. Then, if we take a look at the New Testament, then the Gospel of Christ is also called testimony. That we can read in Matthew 24, verses 14, where it says, "This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end of the age will come." So the gospel is also a testimony. It's a testimony to people of what God has done for us. And then we come to one verse which I think all of us know about, and that's the one in Revelations 12, verses 11, where it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame him. The him over there is the devil. If we go to the previous verses, then we will see that there's a description of the devil and what he has been doing, and that he has been thrown out of heaven along with the other angels. And then this verse comes, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." It's actually three parts in it. The first part is that we can see they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. Now they is actually us, including us as well. We overcame him. We overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood at the cross was stronger than the devil. Death has been broken over there. And this is where we then overcame him. We overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And this is very important, is that we should speak. We should speak that testimony. We should speak about it, what the Lord has been doing for us. We should share it with other people, what the Lord has been doing with us. And that, again, our tongue is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, it's all in our tongue. We can speak about it. We can testify it to other people about it. And then the third part, "And they loved their lives until death." If we're going to have our life more important than God, then we're going to play on the devil's side. But we've got to say, "I'm prepared to give my life for Jesus. I'm prepared to give everything what I've got and follow Jesus." And this is where it means then. "And they did not love their lives to death." So there we can see in Revelations then the three parts where the testimony is a very important part of it. That we can overcome the devil with that. There's one verse what I also want to just highlight. It is 1 John 5, verses 11. And this is for me a very short testimony. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The whole Bible has been put together in those two words actually. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God wants to spend eternity with us. If we accept Jesus Christ, his Son, we are going to be with him forever and ever. And then there's also a warning with it. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So that's a testimony what we can read then in John, that God gave us eternal life, and then life is in his Son. Now, this is not all testimonies what I've been talking about in the Bible, the one in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament about the testimony about Jesus. And now it's a little bit about my testimony. It's going to be on Wednesday. It's going to be the 27th of April. In South Africa, it's Freedom Day. It's a public holiday. In the Netherlands, it's also a public holiday. It's King's Day. It's on that day, on the 27th of April in 2009, when I was baptized and where my life changed. Instead of that, I had a knowledge relation with the Lord, where I knew about the Lord and I knew everything. If they would have asked me the question, "What must you do to go to heaven?" then I could give you the right answer. I could quote you the verses. I could give you everything. I knew quite a lot about the Father, and I knew quite a lot about the Son, but don't ask me anything about the Spirit at that time. And then it was that I was baptized on the 27th. It was actually the weekend that the two of us, me and my wife, went to attend the course. I was going to be trained as a facilitator, and Renee already was facilitating over there. And Renee said she wanted to get baptized. She has been battling for it for 2 years, and at the final end, she said, yes, she wants to get baptized. And then we said, okay, which is going to be the best day? And then we said, okay, we're going to attend the course over there. We're going to ask if they can be baptized. It is at the sea. It was in Betty's Bay, so yeah. And during the course, we were talking, and we had a little bit of spare time. We were talking to each other, and then I said to the one guy, I said, my wife is now getting baptized, but why must I get baptized? And then he said, read Matthew 3. So I read Matthew 3, and then it clicked. We've got to get baptized. There's no two ways about it. We've got to get baptized. I didn't take 2 years about it. I didn't think too much about it. I immediately said, yes, I also want to be baptized. So both of us have been baptized on that day. And this is where my life changed. Instead of knowing the Father and the Son, I also experienced the Holy Spirit. So it happened that, yes, I will get pictures. I will get words. Sometimes you get dreams. And those are things which were never there before. And that opened all up after being baptized. And this is my testimony. This is what happened in my life, and this is what I would like to share with other people. And this is why I also can say, okay, this is what's BC, before Christ. This is when Christ came into my life, and this is afterwards. Yes, before that, I went to church. On Sundays, I went to church, and I did nearly all the things in church. I've been elder, I've been chairman of the elders and all those type of things. But it wasn't about God. It was me first and God behind me. And when that change made on the 27th of April, it was God before me, and I just wanted to follow him. And I wanted to follow him like the Israelites were following the ark. I wanted to follow God as well. I didn't want to say, okay, Lord, I'm going this way. You've got to go along with me. No. Lord, where are you going? Then I want to go. Otherwise, I'm not going, like Moses said as well. And this is my testimony that really changed my life. Being baptized and experiencing the Holy Spirit as well. So not only the Father, not only the Son, but the Holy Spirit as well. And that's an awesome experience, testimony what I've got and what I can use to tell other people what happened to me. And with that, hopefully, other people will also experience the Lord as well. Now I've been talking about my testimony. Now we're going to talk about your testimony. Thank you, brother. Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do now is, and that's basically where we're going to finish the sermon as well, I'm going to ask you to look for somebody you do not know. And it can be mixed, if you really want to. I do actually not mind. It can be male, female, it can be whatever it is. But that you're just going to share 2-3 minutes, your testimony. Because that is what we should do outside as well. We shouldn't only do it inside. So we're basically going to practice a little bit today. So we're going to testify to the other person of what happened in your life. What happened before Christ, receiving the gospel, and what happened afterwards. And once you've finished, you shared it with each other. Just pray blessing over that other person. Pray blessing over that testimony. Pray a blessing over that. Speak life in that testimony. That if the person is going outside and he's going to take that testimony along and he's going to speak to other people, because he practiced a little bit over here, that other people are going to be touched by it, and that we can trust the Holy Spirit as well, that the other person's heart is going to open up as a result of their testimony. Because that's the instruction we've got. So yeah, I'm going to finish off with the prayer, and then I'm going to ask that we can, going to find a partner. If you feel you want to do it with a cup of coffee in your hand as well, feel free. First get a cup of coffee, then sit and talk to each other. It is just share your testimony. But please do it with somebody who do not know or you don't know the person's testimony. Now, all of you heard know my testimony, so I will wait over here. If there's anybody who says afterwards they would like to have anything to pray for, if there's anything you would like to be prayed for or you want to stand proxy for somebody else, feel free to come. And then I would like to pray along with you. Just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that something in our life has changed. Before that, we didn't have a relationship with you. And after that, we've got a living relationship with you. And we want to testify about that, Lord. We do not want to keep quiet about it. We want to tell it to other people. That's the instruction you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you have given us that testimony, that you are interested in us. And that's what we've been singing as well. It's all grace, because we got it for nothing. You gave it free to us, Lord. And thank you that we can receive it, and thank you that we can use it, and thank you that we've got that relationship with you. Father, I pray that the testimonies what we're going to share now with each other is going to be just an exercise, and that tomorrow with more freedom and with more boldness we can walk to somebody and we can testify of what you've done in our lives. That we're not going to keep quiet about it, but that we will have the courage to share it with other people. Because you've given it to us. You've given that testimony to us. Thank you for your testimony, Lord. And thank you that we can use our testimony to touch other people. In the name of Jesus. Amen.